Hallelujah. Lord, we desire for you to breathe upon us. We need that precious Holy Ghost and power. Oh, we thank you today, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, today for the opportunity, oh, to worship you. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Well, turn to a neighbor, shake somebody's hand, tell them, I'm glad you're here this Saturday morning. Pinch them if they're sleepy. Tell them, say, wake up. Amen. We're so glad you are here this weekend. I'm going to have you just remain standing, and won't you grab your Bibles there as we get right into the Word of the Lord this morning. Exodus chapter 19 is where we will take our text today. Exodus 19, and we'll start reading at verse 16. And as you're getting there, just want to say again what a privilege it is for our family to get to be here with all of you, you wonderful young people and pastors and youth pastors and everybody who makes youth retreat possible. Appreciate you seeing you enter in the altars last night, getting something from the Lord. I pray that going forward, that you will, you'll never think about the left side the same again. Amen. You will just know the Lord is doing a work. Praise the Lord. Exodus 19 and starting at verse 16. If you're there with me, won't you say amen this morning? The Bible says, and it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount, and Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount. The Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priest also, which come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds about the mount and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, and Aaron with thee, but let not the priest and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. This morning, for just a few moments, I want to preach on the thought, if you will break through, he will break forth. Amen. If you will break through, God will break forth. Why don't you look over to a neighbor one more time and ask him, say, hey, how about we break through this morning? Praise the Lord. How about we break through and let the Lord break forth upon us? Can we pray together one more time? Father, once again, we're so thankful for the privilege to come together, to be a part of this retreat. We thank you, Lord, for each and every young person that is here this morning. Father, I'm thankful for this time that's been set apart, that we can come together to allow you to speak to us. And Lord, I pray today you would anoint your word. I pray, Father, anoint our hearts and ears to receive your word. Let us leave different. Lord, change us and challenge us. Meet us in these altars this morning, we pray. Father, I pray you'd hide me behind the cross. We want to hear you. Lord, we want to see you today, and we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. I know many of you, I'm sure, I heard some of the boasting of how late some of you stayed up last night, and you're a little weary. You've got a belly full of food right now. This air conditioning's feeling good and these chairs are comfy. So there's going to be some temptation to get heavy-eyed. But I'm going to promise to move as long best we can. But I encourage you to keep yourself awake and let's let the Lord speak to our hearts this morning. If you will break through, He will break forth. As we look here in Exodus, we find this, if you will, it is just this wonderful imagery that is talked about here as it is described as the presence of God is resting on Mount Sinai. The Bible says that there was a great smoke that covered the mountain as if it was a furnace on fire, and the mount would quake, and the voice of the trumpet was waxing long and loud, and it caused the people to begin to tremble as the presence of the Lord had descended down upon the mountain. We find in this that God had given Moses these commandments as to set perimeters, to set a boundary, as the fact as to where he said if anybody were to come into upon the mountain to try to break forth, to get up near this mountain, to get near my presence, he said if they were to try to break through to do that, he said I'd have to break forth upon them. Said they wouldn't last. He said they would die, they would perish. At this point in time, there was not access for man in order to be into the holy place, to be in direct contact with the presence of God. We see in this as to where the presence of God so very real, and Moses and Aaron having this opportunity, this firsthand experience with God, and as to where these boundaries had set, because God did not want the people to perish. When we see this, we understand as to where that when we look at the boundaries and these things that were set, they had a limited access to the presence of God. This barrier to protect them from the holiness of God. And as we see this, I can only imagine what it would have been like that day in order to see all of these elements and all of these things that were going on. We find oftentimes in Scripture when men would encounter angels and or when the presence of God would demonstrate itself, whether it was Moses in a burning bush or situations as of this. It was often an awe-inspiring moment when the power of God and the holiness of God was there coming into the vicinity of where man was. We find in many cases as to where man would fall prostrate before the Lord, before angels. There was oftentimes you would hear angels as they would declare, they'd say, "Fear not." They would have to tell them, "Don't let your heart be worried or troubled," because it was a fearful thing for humanity in order to be in the presence of God in His holiness and all of His deity and all of His power as it was displayed. Of how could we handle such a thing? How could we be around such a thing as God was so holy, and here man just in his mortality in jeopardy of losing his life and being in contact with the presence of God. We see oftentimes, I'm glad today to be a part of the church as to where we now have a liberty. We have the ability, amen, in order to have access, full access to the presence of the Lord, to be in the place where we can rest in His presence and we can feel the glory of God. As we were saying last night, and even as we were in these altars, I can tell you there's nothing like, money can't buy what it is in order to be in His presence. Oh, what it is to lift up holy hands and just to begin to worship. Oh, there's times tears just fall and it comes in waves. There's times it's like fire that shut up in your bones. There's times that, I mean, literally I've had moments, and I know you have as well, as to where David said like this. He said, "I feel like I could run through a troop and leap over a wall. Have you ever felt God's presence so strong and so good? I mean, you just really didn't know what to do with yourself. Oh, but I'm so glad that we have access to break forth into the presence of God, because it is in His presence is where there is fullness of joy. It is in His presence where there is liberty. I remember when my parents had got saved and God had delivered them from drugs and alcohol. And I still remember the night, Brother Howard, when my mother was glorious, filled with the Holy Ghost. And I remember she came back from revival that night. I mean, she was just lit up like a Christmas tree. The next morning, she was getting herself together, Brother Nathan. And she was there in the shower. You could hear the shower going, the bathroom door closed, but you could hear her speaking in tongues. She got to shouting in the middle of that shower. I said, Mama, don't you enjoy the presence of the Lord? She said, I'll tell you. She said, I spent some years trying to find a feeling chasing booze. I tried to find a feeling chasing a drug. I tried to find a feeling doing other things. She said, me and your daddy spent a lot of money trying to get a feeling, trying to get some peace, trying to get a fix. And she said, all this time it was free. All this time it was waiting for me. All this time there was access. All I had to do was get into the presence of God. And she said, it trumps anything that I've ever tried before. She said, oh, she said, it's so refreshing. And she said it, and she was still learning the Bible and all that. She said, that story about that woman that drank that water that never ran dry. She said, that's how I feel. She said, it feels like a river flowing inside of me. Aren't you glad today that the presence of the Lord is real? Aren't you glad today that the presence of the Lord is available? This morning, I want to tell you that the most powerful thing that you can do, the most noble thing that you can do, young people, in all of your activities, in all of your searching, and all the things that you're pursuing after, can I tell you, Jesus said it best. He said, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, He said, all these other things shall be added unto you. Can I tell you, I've met some young people that, and it's a part of growing up, I understand. It's a part of finding yourself and trying to learn who you are and what you're going to be. And I've seen young people who would get so preoccupied with maybe certain schooling, and I've seen young people get preoccupied with making minimum wage money and losing out with God because they no longer had time for church. And I've seen many a young people that was pursuing a young man or a young lady, and there ain't nothing wrong with finding yourself a good young man and a good godly young lady. But I will tell you, whether it's a job, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a career, a calling, whatever it is that you're looking for, I can tell you this, if you will make a priority to seek after the presence of God first, if you'll make a priority to seek the kingdom first, there'll come a time you've been following after Him so hard and so long, you'll look up and all the other things are going to be around you, all the other things you've been desiring, because if you will delight yourself in the Lord, if you'll diligently seek after Him, He is a reward order of them that diligently seek Him. Young person, can I tell you, there's a lot of things this world will promote to you of what you need to find and what you need to make a priority, but I pray that in this last generation, I believe we're a part of the rapture generation. I believe Jesus is soon to come, and I don't know about you, but when He comes, I don't want Him having to try to find me. I want to be in His presence. I want to be living in His power. I want to be in the place in my life to say, Lord, here I am. Lord, I've been seeking after You. I've been pursuing Your will. I've been looking for Your presence. I remember Brother Torbert one time made a statement, always stuck with me in regards to the will of God and seeking after the Lord. He said, if I ever miss God's will, he said, it's going to be because I was trying so hard to find it. You'd say, well, that sounds a little contradictory. But in the sense of what he was saying, he said, I want to pursue him so much. I want to chase after him so hard that if I get to the point, if I miss something, it's because I had my head down. I've been praying. I've been, you know, maybe I overlooked something along the way, but I was doing my sincere best to seek after the presence of God. When we look at this, I want to talk about just a few things this morning that will happen if we're willing to break through. Now, I know you've probably heard 100 messages on what it is to break through, and mine's probably not going to be any different. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun, and so I'm not here to tell you that I've got some big revelation, but I just want to remind you of a couple of things today, because what happens is we can get to a place as to where we get a little bit satisfied. We get to a point and a place as to where we kind of get comfortable with the way things are. Maybe if you were to testify today, you'd say, Brother Jake, things at the church are good. Things right now in the youth group are good. There's not much drama going on. There's not much pettiness going on. Everybody's getting along okay. Everything's good. Brother Jake, everybody seems to be praying and doing okay. All that type of stuff. But what happens is we can get to a place where we just get a little bit comfortable. We get settled in a little bit. And we just kind of, what I like to call, we put some things on cruise control. We just say, well, you know, I'm going to show up. I'll kind of do what I do and all that kind of stuff. But I firmly believe that when we desire to push the limits in God, God desires to do more in us and through us than we have ever dreamed. I don't want to find myself just happy, living right on the cusp of things. Because there's a lot of people in our churches that you could talk to them, some of our older saints, and their whole spiritual walk has been a should have, a could have, or a would have. I've talked to them. You've probably talked to them as to where I said, well, yeah, there was that time I kind of felt God calling me to do this, but they never reacted upon it. Or, well, there was that time we was going to do this for the Lord, but something came along and they got a little bit distracted. Young people, can I tell you, I believe that there is a place in God that we can live. Paul said it like this. He said, he takes me from glory to glory. I believe there are deeper depths. I believe there are higher heights. And I believe it is available to those who would be willing to dare and say, I want to break from the norm. I want to break the mold. Let everybody else in the church be normal if they want to. I want to be radical. I want to do something different. I want God to expose himself in a real way in my life. Can you imagine what the kingdom of heaven would be like with a group of young people that would commit themselves to such an endeavor? Of what would your church be like? What would things happen? What kind of revival would break forth in your church if there were young people that you got back and instead of being those, just kind of bashful or timid to get in and worship or to amen your pastor or to serve in some capacity? And what would happen if you was the first one, amen, to lift up those hands, or you was the first one in the altar, or you was the first one to say, Pastor, I'm here for work day. What can I do? How can I serve? I'm praying. I want to be the first one in prayer meeting. Whatever the case might be, young people, what would happen if we determine within ourselves that we're going to break through into a place that we've never been before, to throw away the things that have us comfortable, throw away the things, amen, that have us as to where we are, as to where we feel somewhat restricted, where there have been boundaries that have been set. We are often in awe of what God can do or in what we sense, but we often stop at self-imposed barriers. Hear me. We often stop at self-imposed barriers that hinder us from a full, real, and living experience with Him. Come on here. Can I just preach a little bit this morning? We get to a point and a place where sometimes we're a little bit too protective of our reputation. we're a little bit too worried of what other people's going to think. Listen, I'm in my 30s still, and I'm quickly approaching 40s, but I still remember what it was when there was times where I would feel God's leading and prompting to do things. I remember as a teenager at 14 when God began to deal with me about the call on my life. I went to a Christian school. Come to find out, not everybody at Christian school is a Christian. Come on here. Some of those fellas, the way they'd carry on in the locker room and different things that were going on. And there was times that even amongst so-called Christian friends where I'd get a look like, who do you think you are? You know, how come you won't do things like we do or whatever the case might be? But Brother Goodwin, God began to deal with me early on to say, if you really want to see what I can do in your life, you're going to have to be willing to break through these barriers. I remember at times feeling so inferior. I wasn't the church kid like everybody else was. I had other friends. Their parents were in church. Their parents were deacons and Sunday school teachers. And here I was. If mama brought me to church, she'd pull up Sister Harwell in her red Z34. That was a fine automobile. And she'd pull up. And I remember I'd be embarrassed because she'd open the door and rock and roll music be blaring out of there. And I'd kind of duck my head, you know, going into the church and thinking, oh man, what's everybody thinking? I'd go in and I didn't know necessarily all the things that all the other church kids did. And so early on, I came to realize that the enemy was trying to put barriers around my life to make me sit and look around and think, you can't have what others have, and you can't do what others do, and you'll never be what others would be. Amen. Because, well, you just don't come, you're not cut from the same cloth. You're not doing it like this, and your home isn't like this. And I had this idea that everybody who was in church, their life was perfect. And I knew my life was far from it. But the older I got and the more I began to seek God. Oh, I remember in those days when I was in youth camp and going to retreats just like you. Oh, I would stand there in those altars and the presence of God be so real and begin to overwhelm me, and he would fill me up. And there were times that I would get to the point, Brother Person, that I would say to myself, Lord, you got to do a work, because when I go back to the house, I'm dealing with the adversary. I'm dealing with some parents that aren't saved. I'm dealing with some situations in the house. And I can tell you, the more I begin to depend on him, the more I took a stand for him, the more that I begin to pursue his presence, I begin to see some things breaking through in my life. And then I begin to see the Lord breaking forth upon the situations. I remember at 15 that I stood in an altar about right here in Bethel Pentecostal Church in Granite City, Illinois. I couldn't tell you who the preacher was, but I remember he preached a message on praying others through. And that night at 15, I determined in my heart, I said, Lord, I'm going to pray my family through to salvation. And I was the first one in that altar, and I was the last one to leave. But I can tell you, in the next 6 months, I watched both my mom and my stepdad make their way down the aisle to an altar and get deliverance. I can tell you, when you make up your mind that you're going to break through, God will break forth upon your situation. But we have got to get past barriers. You have got to quit listening to the enemy. You've got to quit thinking that you're not qualified. You see, even creation has to break through. Chickens, butterflies, alligators, turtles, they all got to come from cocoons and eggs. You take a chick. If anybody here raised chickens? Anybody? There's a few hands. Raise chickens. What you got to do, no matter how bad you want to help that baby chick crack out of that eggshell, you've got to let nature take its course, right? You got to let that chick break on through there. You no matter how impatient, if you've ever, when I was a kid, I'd get those little plastic boxes and I'd go out in the woods at my grandparents' house and I'd break off limbs where there was cocoons and I'd set those limbs in that box. And Sister Goodwin, I'd sit there and I'd just watch and wait. And I thought, I told my pawpaw one day, I said, I'm just going to tear that cocoon open so that butterfly come out. He said, don't you do that. He said, then it wouldn't be a butterfly the way it's meant to be. He said, it's developing in there. It's growing in there. So when he's ready, said, he'll break on out of that cocoon. Can I tell you, even nature itself has to, because in order for a situation to change, can I just tell a young person here that if you want your current situation to change, quit looking for your friend to help you. Quit looking at, well, it's the pastor's fault. Quit trying to say, I need mom and dad to do this. I'm just going to tell you, I love you, but I'm going to let you know you're all old enough. You're going to have to make up your mind that if there's some things in your life you don't like right now, if there's some things going on spiritually you want to change, I'm going to tell you, come on, baby chick. Come on, baby butterfly. Won't you start breaking through? Won't you quit waiting for everybody else to help you get along? Why don't we get some young people that'll say, I don't have to wait and depend on this one. I don't have to wait and see what that one does. I don't have to wait, but if I'm going to change my current situation, I'm going to have to be willing to break through so that I can see God break forth. Listen, your current situation, we oftentimes get held hostage because we are depending upon others to do something for us. I want to remind you that when we stand before God, it will be you that stands before God. Mama or daddy will not be there in order for you to point the finger and say, well, because of them. I had to learn early on, Brother Sean, I could not point to my parents and say, I didn't serve God because. I had to do it right here for myself. I had to get serious with God for myself. It was the best thing that could ever have happened for me. You have to break through if you will determine. I want you to understand, even a seed in a farmer's hand, it's planted in dirt and darkness. And then on top of that, fertilizer is spread. Come on here. It's a dark, dirty, stinky situation. Come on here. Oh, all that dirt and darkness and fertilizers put on top. But in order to feed the multitudes of people, the plant as well must be able to break through the seed and break forth to experience the rain and the sun so that it might grow. Come on here. The Word of God spoke of Christ and said that He would be a root that would come up out of a dry ground. That when Christ was planted into the earth, it was in a time of severe spiritual depravity and hardness and darkness. But in spite of the circumstance, Isaiah said He came forth. He came forth and sprung forth. He was the lily of the valley. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the day spring. He's the day star. Can I tell somebody, we have the example in Christ. He said He's going to spring forth. He'll be that root planted in that dry ground. Can I tell you today, no matter how hard the situation is, if you wasn't capable of breaking through, God would have never put you there. You ought to get yourself in position to say, I'm getting ready to see God do something in my life because I'm in the best place to break through the situation. We want growth, but we often want comfort in the same room together. They don't live together. I promise you, I, like you young people, still to this day, I look at different men and women of God and I admire their life. And I'm the type of person, there's somebody I respect and love, I'll introduce myself, start talking to them and start to pick their brain a little bit of what they came through. Because maybe you take somebody like Brother Goodwin, I mean, looks like he's always got it together. Always easy street, tiptoeing through the tulips. Ain't that right, Pastor? I mean, everything just, I mean, ease of street, never a trial, never a complication, anything of that nature. No, no, I've been with this man. I've worked. I've heard him cry and pray. I've been with him in some of the most broken places in his life. And I come to learn, Sister Harwell, that people that I look at that I think, man, it's so easy for them. They've got a story. They've got a testimony. There's people that I admire. There's people that I thought, oh my goodness, what a spiritual giant. What a warrior for God. What a woman of God. And I've looked, and Brother Tommy, as I look at them and I begin to hear their story, I think, my goodness, how did they make it through? How did they live through that? How did they live through those things? But what happened was, is they made up their mind they was going to break through. They were going to change the current situation. They were going to break through so that God could break forth. I want you to remember in Luke chapter 8, there was a woman who had a condition. The Word of God says she had an issue of blood. She'd been that way for 12 years. She spent all of her money on physicians, the Bible says, and neither could be healed of any. But she came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood was made whole. Can I tell you one of the things? I know we've heard a million messages preached on the woman with the issue of blood, but what I see is a woman who was looking at her current situation and said, something's got to change. She threw all of her money at it and it didn't change. She tried all the specialist and it didn't change. But she heard of a man who was making his way through where she was at, and she took the last bit of effort and energy of what she had just to say, if I'm going to change my current situation, I'm going to break through to get a hold of him. Did you notice she didn't have to take Jesus out to lunch? She didn't have to pay him a big fee, but all she could do was reach up and grab the border of his garment. Just one touch of the master can change everything in your situation. Come on here. Sometimes we think we have to do spiritual acrobats and we have to jump through all kinds of hoops when all we've got to do is make up in our mind, I'm going to get to where he's at. And if I can get to where he is, he'll take care of the rest. He'll take care of the rest. Jesus, I want you to get this picture. Multitudes of people around him. She touches the hem of his garment. He says, stop. Everybody gets quiet. Everybody gets still. He says, who touched me? I love the disciples' response. I firmly believe it's probably Peter. Peter was always putting his foot in his mouth. What do you mean, who touched you? Look at all these people standing around you. Come on, Lord, what are you talking about? He said, no. He said, virtue left my body. You see, because a lot of people can be in the vicinity of Jesus. Come on here. We can be in the vicinity. You could go to 1,000 truth retreats in your lifetime and still be the same. And it ain't the preacher's fault, and it ain't the singer's fault, and it ain't Pastor Goodwin's fault, and it ain't your youth pastor's fault. Come on here. But what happens is, listen to me, because I'm preaching to a lot of church kids, young adults, I don't want any of you being offended. But I'm speaking to some of you that for some of you, this is all you have ever known. My daughter, she's growing up in church. Growing up in church, and what my prayer is every day is, Lord, I don't want her just to be accustomed to church, but I want her for herself to fall in love with you. Not because daddy's the preacher. Not because mama's the singer. Not because we're in church all the time. I'll tell on the preacher's kids for a minute. Make all you pastors just feel at ease a little bit. I'll never forget, we were in Mississippi to preach revival, and at the time we were on the field and we'd been out for 3 solid months. And this was our last revival before we was going to go home for a little bit, take a break. Ashlyn was maybe 3, I guess. And we pulled up at the evangelist quarters. We had just been out to eat with the pastors, and we pulled up, and at 3 years old, Brother Howard, she sat back there in her car seat, and I mean, she just started sobbing and crying. I said, sis, what's wrong? What happened? I thought maybe, you know, she pinched herself or, or something had happened. And she said, I'm tired of being in church. I just want to go home. And me and Carolyn, we just laughed and we said, baby, we just got a few more nights. And I'm not going to ask you pastors to raise your hands, but some of your kids, you know, we're going to church again. We're going to church again, right? But here's the truth. As many of you are growing up around this, and what I think would be a shame is we would be like that crowd where there's so many of us in the vicinity, but never a change. Nobody broke through. Nobody broke through to the point where he would break forth. He said, somebody touch me. He said, virtue has left my body. And then we come to find where he addresses her because he recognizes. And here's the thing. When Jesus asks a question, he already knows the answer. He knew who touched him. He was teaching. He was making a point. He was proving a point. Because all these people, a lot of people are satisfied with bumping into him. There's a difference between bumping into him and there's a difference in breaking through. Come on here. There's a difference in a little bit of a doodad up and down your back. So, oh boy, that was good. Hallelujah. Go home and nothing's changing in your life. Isn't it? Wouldn't it be sad to grow up in the environment of Pentecost, to grow up in pastors' homes, to grow up under some of the best youth pastors that you have, and all of those things and still lose out with God? Young people, hear what I'm saying. We, in order to change current situations, we have to be willing to break through. It's the second thing that happens. When you break through, it is not just about you. It is not just for yourself. But when you decide to break through, you encourage somebody else. Come on here. You encourage somebody else. The Bible tells us the story that there was a man who had the palsy, and he had four friends. Four friends that took up the corner of each corner of that cot. Because they knew that Jesus, the scripture says it was noised abroad that Jesus was in the house. And as he was in the house teaching, they said, we're going to take our friend and we're going to go. Now, this is strictly Brother Jacob's imagination. But Brother Samson, I tend to believe that these four men who carried the man with the palsy, I tend to believe that they were four men who at some point had come in contact with Jesus themselves. At some point, maybe one of them, I've preached before on cot carriers, and I preached that maybe one of them was a man who was healed from a withered hand, and one of them was a blind man whose eyes were open, and maybe one of them had lame legs, but Jesus had healed him and he was walking. Maybe another one who had leprosy. I don't know, it's just my imagination, but here's what I will tell you, is that when there are other people who have genuinely had a breakthrough in their life and have had God break forth on the scene, there's something inside of them that says, I've got to help get somebody else to the place where they can have a breakthrough. Oh, come on. Where they can see God do something in their life. I can tell you, these men, they went to great extremes. The woman broke through the crowd. These men broke through the roof in order so that God would break forth upon their situations. But they were doing it on behalf of a friend. Come on here. There's nothing more encouraging. We'll encourage our friends to do a lot of things. It might be fashion sense. Somebody said, oh, one of you young ladies, oh, where'd you get that dress? Oh, I got over here and it was on. They nearly paid me money to buy it. I got such a good deal on it. That's what Sister Carolyn does sometimes. They nearly paid me to take it out the store. It was such a discount. You know, some of these guys, where'd you get that? Those Air Jordans, and where'd you get that polo shirt? Or maybe it's, look at this new phone I got, right? They've already talked about the iPhone 10, and he got $1,000 you want to throw around for an iPhone. Ooh, Lord help, that's another message. But we're all the time encouraging our friends to do different things. Sometimes we're encouraging our friends to do things they ought not to do. Sometimes we're motivating people to do things that they shouldn't. Well, hold on, Brother Jacob. I haven't told anybody to do. But here's the thing. This is what we have to be careful of. You don't always have to tell somebody because they're watching you. They're going to see you. Some of you young men and some of you young ladies, I'll pick on Sister Maddie because I know her. I know her walk with God. The way I was holding Ashlyn the other night, I held Maddie that way. She just a little bitty old blonde haired bundle of joy when we first met her mom and daddy, and we'd hold on her and play with her. And back then she was the only child. She told me this morning, said, I remember I used to get all the attention. Not anymore. Not anymore. There's more babies in her life now. More sisters and brother. But anyway, I can guarantee you this, because of her stand and because of her walk with God, I guarantee you there's some people at Country Tabernacle that are watching her life. And she wouldn't have to say anything, but if she started to do some certain things, slip in some certain areas, there'd be some other young people say, well, maybe it'd be okay. Maybe Sister Emma, maybe her brother, maybe other young people be saying, well, if Maddie's doing it, what we forget sometimes is that somebody is watching our experience. Oh, I tell you, now listen, I'm not talking about just those moments. I know we've all kind of been guilty. You know, truth camp and retreat sometimes when you don't really want to pray too much and you find somebody and you put your hand on, oh Lord. Don't look at me funny. You know what I'm talking about. And then your mind thinking, I wonder if they're serving nachos at concession stand tonight. I wonder if Sally's over there looking at me. Come on. I wonder if she knows I got the iPhone 10. My selfies will never look so good. Come on here. You know how we do? We're praying for other people. We just kind of put our hand on Jesus. That way, we're not really praying. Now, I'm not against this point is to remind you, we want to encourage other people. We want to help people get a breakthrough. I remember my second year of truth camp. This was back, some of y'all weren't even born. That's making me feel really old right now. And we was back in a little bitty old campground in Lumberton, Texas. We were in the little bitty chapel. And we had a marble platform and brick walls. That music ricocheted all over that hall. And it was loud and echoey. But I'm going to tell you something. The presence of God, oh, would visit us in that place. I remember my second year. Where's Brother Dustin? Brother Dustin over there. I love that boy to death. I love him so much. I wanted to kill him when he was a teenager. I surely did. And not just to pick on Brother Dustin, but I also had... I know his daddy's in the room, but I had Blake Goodwin. There's times I wanted to kill him. And I had Josh Busby, and I had some of these boys, and I had Sister Amy and Sister Alicia and some of these girls. And there was times I said, oh Lord, what our kids need, they need a breakthrough. They need a breakthrough where you can break forth. It does my heart so good when I look around and see some of them all serving in ministry, all living for the Lord, doing things good for God. I'm so thankful for that. And it shows me they had some breakthroughs in their life where God could break forth. But I remember that second year at Truth Camp, and some of my boys have been in a struggle. Brother Sampson, some of them were battling some things, and I'll never forget the night, Brother Dustin, you'll probably remember, we was standing up right there in the middle, and we had Dustin, and we had Blake, and we had Josh, and we had some others that were standing there, and I mean those boys had arms around one another, and they were praying. I'm not talking about just this kind of touch a shoulder and shed a tear and let me go to concession stand, but I mean they weren't just praying for themselves. They were genuinely praying one for another. And I'll never forget that night when, I mean, the Holy Ghost moved all of those boys in an instant. And I'm not just all about, oh, they shouted, but I'm talking about a genuine, I mean, power of God hit them. Those boys looked like a shotgun shell. It spread in all directions as the Holy Ghost moved on them. Youth pastor got in on it. I'm telling you what was happening when they were all deciding, we're going to break through this together. The Lord broke forth upon them. Out of that year in Truth Camp, I had those boys. They were called to ministry. God was doing great things. It was a moment in time that would propel them further. Why? Because they decided together, we're not going to compete on how bad we can be, how prideful we can be, how strong we can be, but we're here in this thing together. We're all trying to make heaven together. We all want the presence of the Lord together, and we're going to break through together so the Lord can break forth upon us. Woo! I think Jesus, I know he was happy for the man of the palsy who was coming down, but he was most excited, I believe, about those four men who said, we're going to do our best to help a brother break through. Break through. The enemy would love for there to be divisions, for there to be drama. He would love for the young men and young ladies you're sitting next to who go to the same church as you. He would love for there to be rifts amongst you to where you don't pray for one another, but you're backbiting one another, gossiping about one another. Come on here. You're not shouting, but I'm preaching. We got to be careful. Listen, last but not least, here's one of the reasons, the reason why we can break through. I already mentioned it a little bit, but you see, the barrier is broken. The barrier is broken. In the Old Testament, God said, you can only come so far or you'll die. But fast forward, here we are, the book of Luke, chapter 23, verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness all over the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Can I tell you this morning, young person, the reason why you're able to break through so that God can break forth is because our greatest example showed us what it was to break through. Come on here. Oh, listen. He loved us all the way to Calvary. He hung there stretched high and wide, suspended between heaven and earth. He stayed there until the sun refused to shine. He stayed there until the earth began to quake. He stayed there until it came the point as to where he gave up the ghost. The Bible says, and immediately in that temple, the veil that was the barrier, the veil that kept us separated, the veil that said only the priest can come in here. Jesus had a breakthrough. Jesus had a breakthrough. And as a result, forevermore, God was going to be able to break forth upon us. Can I tell somebody? I don't care what the devil has to say about your past. I don't care what somebody has to say about your current situation. But may God give us some young people that'll say, because Christ could and because he did, I know that I can. I'm going to break through so that God can break forth upon my life. Because Christ was willing to stay until the will of the Father was completed, it gave us access to where no longer do we have to be in fear. Music, if you'd come, let me read to you what Hebrews says. Hebrews 4 and 14 says, seeing then that we have a high priest that is, listen, passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Listen to this, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Can I let you know this morning, young person? You have permission to break through. You have, if you've been waiting around saying, well, I've kind of been waiting on this one and that one, quit waiting. You have permission. And I'm not talking about mommy and daddy permission. I'm talking about heaven itself has said, come ahead. Come ahead. Break on through and see how God wants to break forth upon your life. Oh, you see, they were afraid of him breaking forth in the Old Testament. But here we are. The veil has been rent. We have access. We can boldly go into the throne room, the Holy of Holies. And as we're there, God can break forth and help himself in our lives. Oh, young person, would you stand with me all over this house? I want you right now, one more time, let's lift our hands to heaven. Come on, let's lift those hands up. I want you right now, get your mind and your heart conditioned and prepared, because there's some of you that are in this building, you've got a current situation that you need changed, and it's only going to change if you're willing to break through. There's some of you need to be encouraged, and you need to be an encourager, but the way to do it is to break through. Help somebody break on through where God can break forth upon their life. Maybe there's some of you that say, well, I've kind of been in the side, kind of been waiting, kind of been wondering, Brother Jacob, if I have permission. And I came to this morning to remind you that Christ has already paid the price so that you have the ability to break through, so that God can break forth in the middle of your life. Come on, young people, lift those hands back up. Don't get tired on me. Come on. Come on, that's it right now. Lift your voice to heaven. See, this weekend is so much more than pizza and volleyball. This weekend so much more than just catching up with friends from other churches. But I believe that if you'll allow yourself to break through, God's saying, I want this truth to treat, to be ingrained in your memory, because you'll be able to say on that Saturday morning at Lakeview Campground, I broke through and God broke forth. Some of you need to break through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Some of you breaking through to the point, oh, where those sins are forgiven. Some of you breaking through because maybe you need healing in your body. Maybe you need divine direction. Maybe this morning you need the will of God, oh, opened in your life. This morning, right now, without any further hesitation, I want you to come. Come quickly. Get in these altars. I want you to stand before the Lord. Get those hands lifted to heaven. Come on and make up your mind today. Lord, I'm breaking through. Lord, here I am. I want you young people, put your pride on the back shelf. I want you, don't you worry about anybody else. He the devil is a liar. Oh, can I tell you this morning, no matter what it is, no matter the place in your life, God is saying, it is made available that you can break through, so that I can break forth. Hallelujah.
I'd run,
oh,
right,
yes,
now.
Oh, Lamb of God.
Oh, to Jesus.
Do come on, young men. Come on, young ladies.
To Jesus. Just
Lord,
one time.
I need you today.
Wouldn't be enough,
Lord,
for all you're needed. And when you hear him say, come, I wouldn't walk, I'd run right now. Oh, to get to Jesus, do